We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. I'm Clay Link here with RotoWire.com's lead prospect analyst, James Anderson. James, our last prospect pod of the season, at least the last regularly scheduled prospect pod of the season. Congrats on a great year, man. Thanks for all the great insight. I know you are continuing on once a week in the postseason, so that's exciting for the listeners of the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast.
Well, once a week in the postseason and throughout the offseason. So got my first few guests lined up already. Gonna have a ton of great guests throughout the offseason, but this is gonna be a fun final episode for us, because we're really going to focus on the big names, basically kind of, you know, wrapping up, summarizing the top 50 of the top 400 for the final top 400 update of the season, which will be live on the site Friday.
Live on the site this Friday. So this will be the last one before the big off-season overhaul. Yeah, so awesome, man. Before we go on, I do just want to say, you know, not going to go into specifics, but we're thinking about our buddy Kevin O'Brien and his family. Thinking about him, man. I love that guy. So our colleague and friend here, Kevin O'Brien, thinking about him. And this will be the last one. Who's your, do you have your first guest that you can announce for the offseason pod? Are you not prepared yet to reveal that?
Yeah, I can say the very first one is going to be Ian Kahn. We're going to be talking about end of year dynasty rankings. And then the next week will be Chris Welsh. We'll be previewing the Arizona Fall League. And then, those are guys that are on, you know, we've had them on before, but excited to have some other guys on for the first time later in the offseason. So, those first two episodes will be great, I hope to have a cool guest on every week.
That'll be great. Yeah, the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast has been something we've usually done from January through the end of September, but I think it's great for the growth and the future of the pod that you are continuing on throughout the off season once a week. That's great. Thanks for taking that on and furthering RotoWire Podcast here. Well, James, let's start with the top 400 update. Again, going live to the site Friday, you said, sounds like there's just a huge gap between, well, the top two guys and the rest of the field.
Yeah, so Julio Rodriguez and Bobby Witt are obviously one and two. Doesn't really matter. I don't think which order you have those guys, but I prefer Rodriguez, but I mean, they're both total studs. But I really think it has to be said again and again and again that there is a gigantic gap between 2 and 3. No matter who you think is 3, I think to me it's between 2 guys, who we'll talk about in a second, but the number 2 prospect, whether you think that's Rodriguez or Bobby Witt, like, they both have a chance to be no doubt top 10 dynasty players for the next like 7 or 8 years. The guy, whoever you think is 3rd, there's risk involved. There are no just absolute, you know, slam dunk studs after those top 2. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have a chance to be really special, a lot of guys with high floors, a lot of guys with high ceilings, but it's really those 2 guys who have the very high floor and the very high ceiling. And like a example of this is, I was actually asked on Twitter by the manager on either side of a potential trade. At first, one guy was like, would you trade Brennan Davis and Aaron Ashby for Julio Rodriguez? And then a day later, someone asked me if I would trade Julio Rodriguez for Brennan Davis and Aaron Ashby. And I think the reason why this trade was sort of considered, you know, what should we do it, should we not do it, is because I have Brennan Davis at number 3. And I tweeted out earlier in the week, or maybe a week ago, that Aaron Ashby was my number 1 pitching prospect at the time. So in theory, like, you would think that the best pitching prospect in the game and the number 3 prospect in the game for the number 1 prospect in the game might seem like a fair trade on paper. And to me, it's Julio Rodriguez, no question. You take Rodriguez over that duo, and you don't even really think about it, because Rodriguez just has that chance to be a very real chance. Like, I mean, I think he's already probably a top 20 guy for Dynasty, but I think like in a year from now, he could be an unquestioned top 10 guy for Dynasty. And, you know, whoever you think is the 3rd best prospect in the game, they obviously would have a chance to be a top 20, top 25 guy for Dynasty. Aaron Ashby, I think, could be just a total stud if he stays healthy, but there's just a level of uncertainty after those top 2 guys, and a level of ceiling with Rodriguez and Witt that is just, I think it has to be stated again and again, just so that people don't make mistakes out there when they're doing trades.
Since you mentioned Ashby, let me ask you, on Twitter recently, you mentioned that Ashby had kind of leapt into that number 1 pitching prospect for Dynasty Leagues status. He kind of elevated there, but Shane Baz has been killing it. Has that flip-flopped for you? Do you still prefer Ashby? How do those 2 guys compare in your opinion?
So on my, we can just jump to that topic right now, since that is on the outline a little further down. When I tweeted that, that was before Shane Baz made his big league debut. Right now I'm going to have Baz at 14 and Ashby at 15. And Ashby is going to graduate from prospect status due to days on the active roster here in a few days. So Ashby will not be like, I'll be removing him from the rankings when he does graduate. So when the off season gets here, or I should say when the playoffs start, it will be Baz just up by himself, and Ashby will be removed because he will have graduated. And I think it's relevant because I haven't had a pitching prospect inside my top 25 since Alek Manoah was there, and Manoah got as high as 14 before he graduated. And so Baz is inside the top 25. He's up at 14 where Manoah was. Ashby's up at 15. So it's just kind of some perspective, like, these 2, not only do they have massive ceilings as potential SP1s, but they are in the majors. They're helping your fantasy teams right now. They are guys that you can draft in redraft leagues for next year with confidence. They're healthy. They're pitching very well. We don't have questions about their ability to succeed in the majors or anything like that. We don't have to worry about them, opening the year at AA or AAA and potentially getting injured before reaching the majors. So that's kind of what it takes to get up as high as they are, as high as Alec Manoah was several months ago. Boz, I think, is the fact that he's kind of fully stretched out and in the rotation is what gives him that edge to me. Ashby, the Brewers are going to use him as a multi-inning weapon in the postseason, but not as a starter. And so they're kind of using him in that multi-inning role right now as a reliever. And then you have the question about, you know, is Ashby going to, are they going to go with a six man next year? Is someone going to have to get hurt for him to open in the rotation? Like, I don't think he's going to go. I think he's just too good to go to AAA. I think he's way better than Adrian Hauser, for instance. I think he's honestly going to be considered better than Freddie Peralta in pretty short order. So I'm not really worried about that if you're doing drafts for next year. But with Boz, I mean, I think it's pretty clear just given the, you know, the Brewers actually have more starting pitching depth than the Rays heading into next year. So I think Boz is even more assured of that spot, which is why he gets the slight edge. But it won't really matter in a few days because Ashby will graduate.
I think we all knew Boz was pretty darn good, but he just comes up and is almost better than advertised. And it's kind of funny, you know, we talk a lot about how when a guy struggles, it's kind of like that new car off the lot thing. But when a guy has that initial success, everybody, you know, falls in love. And I think probably rightfully so, but maybe Shane Boz will be a little pricey in redraft next year. I'm kind of excited to see. By the way, that reminds me, I'm excited to see everyone at first pitch in a few weeks. I guess that's not this weekend, but then the weekend after, maybe. I still have to book my flight. Basically, I was a late commitment. I want to thank Brent Hershey for finding a spot for me. I told him I was really leaning the other way for a long time, but then I thought, hell, I'm vaxxed. I've been sitting in my apartment for 2 years, so I owe it to myself to head down to Arizona and see some games. But James, let's jump back up the prospect list a little ways. Brennan Davis versus Riley Green. I feel like I see something about these guys all the time on Twitter. A lot of hype. Obviously, you like them a lot, but splitting hairs here. Do you see a difference? Do you have a preference between those two, Brennan Davis versus Riley Green?
Yeah, you know, I have the very, very slightest of leans toward Brennan Davis. I just think he's got 40 homer upside, and Riley Green's maybe more like 30, 35 homer upside. Green maybe steals a handful more bases early, but I think, you know, when these guys are 25, 26, it's really going to be all about the home runs, the runs, the RBI, the batting average. I think it's worth comparing the two because they are so close for me. I think you can make a very solid case that Riley Green should be 3 and Davis should be 4. But I do think there is a drop off after those two. Like, there's no one else in discussion for 3 or 4 to me. It's clearly Rodriguez versus Witt at 1 and 2, and it's clearly Davis versus Green at 3 and 4. And then there's some guys, you know, up for grabs for 5, 6, 7. But I do think Davis and Green have solidified themselves as top 4 prospects to end the year.
And Josh Young, we talked about him during the under-discussed AL prospects pod. And for a guy this highly touted, it does seem like he's kind of under the radar, I guess, because the team's so bad and they project to be bad for a while. But do you think he's – well, I guess here in the outline, you say he's kind of in that same level as a prospect as guys like Spencer Torkelson and Adley Rutschman. You want to explain your thinking with that statement?
Yeah, I'm going to have it Torkelson, Rutschman, Young, 5, 6, 7 on the next update. I think you obviously have Torkelson and Rutschman as former number one overall picks. There's a lot of hype and pedigree there, but and Young doesn't necessarily have that. But if you're just kind of projecting out what's the fantasy contribution going to look like, You know, we could look at the rest of my top 12, and every single guy on there has a chance to be a double digit steal guy, at least early in their career. These three did not. Torkelson, Rutschman, and Young, I don't think, you know, if those guys do have a double digit steal season, it'll be like, you know, one of those like Anthony Rizzo random ones or something where he's on base a ton and he's just really cheeky and he gets some steals when the pitcher's not paying attention. But like, these are not fast players. They are, although Young, I think I have said his body does look really, really, you know, proportioned. I think he's going to age very well. I think he's going to move fairly well for his size. But with these three guys, we're talking about batting average, OBP, power, hitting third or fourth in their lineup. And I think they're all extremely similar in all those categories. I think Rutschman, with him being a catcher, obviously it's a scarcer position, but I also think it gives him more of an opportunity to break down or get injured or possibly have his offense impacted by the defensive toll of playing his position. But yeah, I mean, I think most people, if I said like if I put up a Twitter poll and I said, who do you want in Dynasty, Spencer Torkelson, Adley Rutschman, or Josh Young? I think Young would probably get like 4% of the vote. But to me, it's they're in the exact same tier, those three guys.
It's quite the endorsement from the best prospect guy in the biz, and James Anderson. By the way, James, you know, obviously Boz, Ashby, those guys will be in the mix and redraft, but among the players we've talked about, aside from those two, do you see yourself drafting right now? It's hard to say, obviously, but main events, do you see yourself popping any of these guys late? Like, obviously, we expect pretty much everybody we've talked about, aside from Boz and Ashby, to spend at least a couple weeks down in the minors.
You know, so what can you rephrase that? What like type of format were you talking about?
That was
about?
A terrible question. Basically just like in the main, would you draft any of these guys?
No. Late, I mean, I might take like Witt.
Okay. Yeah. I got burned this year and I just don't know if in the main I could play the waiting game. The stash season, I don't know, man. It wasn't very
fun. I think you need to reevaluate your whole approach to redraft prospect rostering.
That's fair. I mean, I really was only Witt this year. I guess too, and like Stakely, I had like Manoah, which worked out.
Well, didn't you have Kalanick?
Yeah, I had Kalanick in quite a few leagues. That was a miss, let's just say. By the way, I was telling Ariel Cohen, who was on the pod last week, filling in for, or no, he was on MLB Network Radio, filling in for Zola, like, I'm done with stars and scrubs and auctions / salary cap draft leagues. You know, stars and scrubs is kind of a cop-out. It's worked. You can make it work, but it's kind of like punting a category. It's like, why do that to yourself? You're just putting yourself at a handicap almost, and kind of just as a way to, you know, I'll take these. I have my preferences at the end, but I don't need to be in on all the mid-tier players, but you really have to be in the bidding on every single player if you're really legit. And you have to split those hairs. And I think just this year, I didn't want to split those hairs. I just wanted to pay up and then get my sleepers in the end. But it's hard to do, even if you do hit on a bunch of sleepers. It's hard to make all those $1 players work out. Real quick, before we move on, let's pay some bills with a quick commercial break here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now we are back on the RotoWire Prospect Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. Clay Link here with James Anderson on the final Prospect Pod of 2021. Thank you all for being with us all season long. Thanks to Andrew Redding for curating the playlist. We'll be adding our final walk-up songs at the end of the show. James, you mentioned in our outline that Tristan Casas killed it in the Olympics. I'm kind of wondering, where do you know where to find Olympic stats? I didn't see it on their baseball reference page.
He didn't kill it in the Olympics. He's killed it after the Olympics.
Oh, post-Olympics. I gotcha. I just was looking for Olympic stats the other day, and I was wondering why those aren't more freely available for the baseball run. Anyway, post-Olympics for Casas. What's he been doing since he returned from the Olympics?
More walks than strikeouts, 8 home runs in 35 games, strikeout rates under 20%, hitting close to 300 with like a 440 OBP. I think the last time we talked about Casas was just the fact that his hard hit rate on the site is pretty mediocre for a basically like a future cleanup hitter, especially one in the upper levels. But he really started getting to that power much more after that run in the Olympics. And so he's going to be up inside the top 15 right ahead of Boz and Ashby. And, you know, I mean, again, like none of the guys we're talking about here is someone I'd recommend for a main event or any type of redraft league with 7-man benches. With the possible exception of Bobby Witt. But, I mean, a lot of these guys will be up next year. Like, Casas will be up. Young will be up. Rutschman will be up. Torque will probably be up. Riley Green will be up. Brendan Davis will be up. Julio Rodriguez will be up. So, you know, these are not stash candidates in those types of leagues. But in draft champions, draft and hold, 50-rounders, all these guys have a little bit of merit.
Now, a lot has gone right for the Giants this year, obviously, but Marco Luciano, since he got the bump up to high A, not doing too much. Now, it is only 36 games, so how much did that affect his stock, Marco Luciano?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, I think a guy like Josh Jung passed him on just merit of Jung deserving to be higher. Same with, you know, Noelvi Marte, Anthony Volpe, Brayan Rojo. But then with guys like Casas and Boz and Ashby, and even his teammate Luis Matos, I think it was more of a case of him falling than them passing him. Like, they deserve to be up there, but you know, the strikeout issues have just been just a big issue with him at all of his recent levels above rookie ball. He got the strikeout issues under control at low A, but you know, he was young for the level at low A, but you know, Luis Matos is young for that level. Noelvi Marte is young for that level. Robert Hassel is young for that level. Tyler Soderstrom is young for that level. Like, he's the one that has these strikeout issues of all those guys, at least to the point where there's a little bit concern there. And unlike guys like Matos, unlike guys like Volpe, Marte, Rocio, Luciano is not going to be stealing bases. So you need him to be a guy that hits for a decent average for him to be more than a three category guy in Roto. And I know there are going to be people that are coming for me on Twitter once these rankings go live. Like, how could you move Luciano that far down? I mean, how many guys have I ever had in the top 20 who had a 37% strikeout rate at any level? I mean, I think it's kind of a testament to Luciano's prodigious talent and abilities that he's still as high as he is. Obviously, I don't think, like, if he played, you know, 100 games back at high A next year, he's not going to strike out at a 37% clip. But it is a big jump in competition to go from low A to high A. But, you know, most guys who are true, like, top 10 caliber prospects, or even top 12, top 15 caliber prospects, they're going to handle that jump a little bit better than Luciano did. I mean, Noelvi Marte, obviously his production fell off a little bit, but he hasn't had the same level of struggles after that promotion. So Luciano still has just a massive ceiling as a power hitter. I mean, he's got a ton of power for a potential shortstop. But I do think there is the risk that he's a three category guy. So that's just, I kind of wanted to get out in front of that and explain the drop there.
Interesting. He's a pretty big kid for 20, 6'2", and success rates on the base is not all that great. Not that that's, you know, going to doom his stolen base production, but probably best to temper expectations in that department. Now, James, moving on, Dustin Harris. Are you ready to move him inside the top 25 and give him that vote of confidence?
Yeah. You know, this is like you said, this is pre full off-season deep dive. Like, we're going to, you know, the one that would go in the magazine, like the one that's probably going to be released in December. I'm not saying he's definitely going to be top 25 on that one, but he's going to be top 25 on this one. I think an interesting player to compare Harris to is Nick Gonzalez, who is just 2 months older than Harris and has been at high A this whole time. Harris opened at low A and then got promoted to high A. I mean, I think those guys have been fairly similar from a production standpoint over the last, you know, 6-7 weeks. Although Harris has struck out at a much lower clip. Every time we talk about Dustin Harris, I want to preface it by saying this is not tied to his stolen base totals. Like, I'm a big believer in the bat, period. Like, I know he's stolen a lot of bases in the minors this year. I don't really expect that to be a big part of his game in the majors. He's a good athlete for a potential first baseman for sure. So, I mean, he could be a 12 steal guy, maybe even a 15 steal guy. But this is really just all about the bat, all about the hit tool and the power that he's still growing into. I bumped him from, I think, off of the list to inside the top 80 on that big update from over a month ago, I believe. And so that was like a big jump for him. And he did not slow down. I've become kind of more comfortable with the idea of him as a potential top 50, top 30, top 25 guy. And I have Dustin Harris in a lot of dynasty leagues. And I was asking myself the question, like, well, would I trade him for this guy? Would I trade him for that guy? Would I trade him for this guy? And like, yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, he is a top 25 guy for me right now.
And what about the Blue Jays' Jordan Groshans? Is he trending back up?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I mean, he was never trending down per se. He's kind of been in the, I want to say he's been in like the 20 to 30 range all season. Maybe, I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but I think he's kind of been in the 20 to 30 range all season. But he really finished the year on a strong note, which I think is encouraging, especially considering he hadn't really hit for the type of power that I kind of expected him to this year. But over his last 11 games, he hit .405, slugged .643, had a 11% strikeout rate. Really finished the year on a high note. And I think if you compare him, like, you know, he was at Double A all year, like a really aggressive assignment. If you compare other guys who are about his age and were at Double A, I mean, he really outperformed most of them. Tristan Casas is probably a guy that, you know, you couldn't say that about. With Groshans, Brian Rocchio is another guy, but those guys are ranked higher than Groshans. But like a lot of the other guys, you know, his former org mate, Austin Martin's been at Double A the whole year. I think Groshans has been better than Austin Martin. You know, I think he deserves to be kind of on the borderline of the top 20. I think this is a guy that you might want to target in trades during the off season, because, you know, the power is in there. It just, it didn't show up necessarily the way that I expect it to eventually this year at Double A. But I mean, I think he's only going to continue to trend up in that department going forward.
And Hedbert Perez really mostly struggled at Low A this year. Expected from you, does that really affect his stock much, or is that just par for the course here with Hedbert Perez?
Yeah, you know, I can't remember where I said it, if it was on this pod or the Brewers pod I do with Ryan Topp, but you could see this coming from a mile away, like when they did promote him from the ACL to Low A. I mean, that was an aggressive promotion. I mean, I think you could say that he deserved it, but I also think that it was one of those where he'd gotten into some bad habits in terms of just being super aggressive at the plate, that the Brewers probably wanted him to kind of get a little bit of humble pie before the end of the season to kind of show him, like, you know, this, you're going to have to maybe work on some things here to have success against more advanced pitching. Like, he was just too talented to not have success in complex ball, but ton of strikeouts, barely any walks, relative to like a player at that level. And then that just got worse when he got the bump up to Low A. So I just want to say, you know, look, like Hedbert Perez is not going to be in the top 30 on this update, but he's still in the top 40. And just don't panic on him. Don't look at that Low A run and be like, oh crap, like, is he not as good as we thought he was? Because you should have expected this when he got that bump to Low A. That was not a, oh, he's going to hit the ground running type of promotion. Like, that was going to be what happened there. So I just wanted to touch on that quickly.
We got to pause briefly to throw to a word from our paid sponsors. But real quick, James, not a paid sponsor, but, you know, during my road trip, we didn't talk about it last week, but, you know, didn't stop at as many sandwich shops as I would have liked to. Had a couple good sandwiches, but I just want to say the best fast food, I guess you could label it, sandwich in America, it's got to be Penn Station. Again, not a paid sponsor of the show, but if you've been turned off by their weird faces loaded advertising campaign, which is questionable, I recommend putting that out of your mind and trying Penn Station. Get yourself a Dagwood. And that's one of the best best sandwiches I've had in a while. But we will get to these paid words now. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, even more so making the right decision. We also appreciate great sandwiches here. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette. Double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. While rapidly expanding at WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's W-Y-N-N-B-E-T. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. And the summer is coming to an end, which means less than a month until postseason baseball. There's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to watch your favorite team race towards the postseason. So grab your MLB tickets, maybe a stadium hot dog or two, and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Even better, they have a rewards program designed to provide real rewards for fans. Earn rewards, ticket upgrades, and perks just for shopping. If you're looking for tickets to the game, to see your favorite performer, or that new show everyone is talking about, Vivid Seats has it all. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. And finally, the new NFL season is underway, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prized contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contests now being shark-free. To celebrate the beginning of football season in Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS football contest live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry to the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Live Finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started. Whew. All right, James, as we continue on here, what are you thinking about Boston's infield of the future? Is that going to be a topic that comes up with people checking out your update, you think? People wondering what that's going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's pretty impressive. I don't even think, like, we have to bring back in Casas for this discussion. I mean, he's going to be up sometime next season. But Nick York is going to be inside my top 25. He's actually going to be just inside my top 20, and he's probably their second baseman of the future. Marcelo Meyer is their shortstop of the future, and he's inside my top 40. And Blaze Jordan, you know, who knows if he's first base, DH, whatever, but he's inside my top 50. And all these guys are teenagers. They're all, they all had really impressive, pro debuts, and I mean it's probably one of the funnest combination of teenage infielders that I can remember in the minors.
That's awesome. Now, you noted to me earlier that, you know, seemingly every hitter has hit better at AAA than AA this year. You reading anything into that? Anything you want to note about hitters improving their numbers at AAA?
Well, I just think everyone should be aware of this when like, for instance, like, you should never look at any sort of projection system when it comes to evaluating a prospect for the coming season or whatever. But I don't think projection systems are going to have any way to deal with this. And so, like, I think projection systems are going to be even more useless than they usually are when it comes to prospects. And I think the big issue is the pitching is just tougher in many regards at AA than at AAA. You have guys with more electric stuff, I think, at AA than at AAA right now. And I mean, it really is, it's remarkable just how, you know, usually like that AA to AAA isn't the biggest jump. I mean, I think low A to high A and high A to double A are bigger jumps. Complex ball to low A is a big jump. But in the past, double A to triple A has been, it's been a noticeable jump. I mean, you know, guys, it wouldn't be out of, you know, you would expect a guy to maybe see his numbers dip a little bit. I mean, looking at my top 100 or so hitters, the one guy that I know got worse after that promotion from a statistical standpoint was Julio Ramos, but pretty much everyone else got better. And some of that is, you know, like Al Thomas, you know, has been playing in a ton of hitter friendly parks and stuff like that. And you get a lot of those at AAA, but it's just, you know, when you hear someone maybe doing analysis during the off season, if they say, man, and he got better after his promotion from AA to AAA, I mean, I think it's fair to say, well, yeah, so did every other hitter. Like, it's something that we need to factor in with our analysis of hitting prospects this upcoming offseason.
Is AA stiffer competition? Like, are they facing tougher arms down there? I guess that.
Well, you have a lot of
veterans.
You have a lot of just guys with mediocre stuff at AAA that are kind of like fringe 40-man guys. Yeah. You know, just
more electric arms, I'd imagine, at AA.
Right. Like there are more like true prospects at AA on the pitching side. There are guys who are gonna pitch in the majors at AAA, and you know, you'll have your guys like Alec Manoa, Shane Baz, Aaron Ashby. Like, it's not like those guys didn't pitch at AAA, but they were much more the exception. And I think like the ballparks have a part to play in it too. But it's just, you know, it's just something that everyone should be aware of when they're kind of analyzing prospects heading into next year. Like, just because a guy was better as a hitter at AAA than AA doesn't mean that they got better from a talent standpoint.
Yeah, that's definitely good to point out. I'm nervous, I got to say, about this CBA. I think it expires, what, December 1st? I don't know, somebody who works full-time in this industry, I am pretty nervous about it. I do think, though, that bargaining chip with the Universal DH, I think if there is baseball, that card will have been played and we will have a DH again. Again, my opinion, but if there is baseball next year, I'm hopeful. And my current expectation is that there will be the DH. But you still look at some guys kind of in the middle of that top 100 and you see legitimate playing time concerns. Is that right?
I mean, yeah, like 95% of the time when someone asks me, like, are you worried about this guy being blocked for X, Y, Z? I think people overthink that stuff way too much. Usually it works itself out. People especially overthink it when they're talking about, you know, a guy at low A or something, you know, like Marcelo Meyer is not blocked by Xander Bogaerts, for instance. But there's kind of this collection of hitters who are all at double A or triple A, where I think it's something to just kind of factor in. Vidal Brujan, for instance, like his playing time situation in Tampa Bay, it's pretty brutal. Like, he's really going to have to hit to kind of wrangle more than like a 3 or 4 day a week type of job there. Tyler Freeman with Cleveland, The fact that Brian Rocchio, well, Freeman got hurt, and then Brian Rocchio went up to double A and raked and blew past Freeman on the org depth chart. They also have Ahmed Rosario, Andres Jimenez. They've got a handful of guys already at the big league level. Like I think Owen Miller is going to hit eventually. You know, Jose Ramirez isn't going anywhere. I think Bobby Bradley is finishing the year really strong. Framil Reyes is obviously their DH. So, you know, Tyler Freeman, I still think he's probably their second baseman of the future, and Rocchio's their shortstop of the future. But if Ahmed Rosario or Andres Jimenez or Owen Miller has a good year next year in the majors, then that starts to look a little bit crowded. And then you got Jose Miranda with the Twins. You know, I think we expect them to want to trade Josh Donaldson this offseason, but I think that's a lot easier said than done. And, you know, the Twins, they didn't do everything they could to kind of clear a path for him, despite the fact that he did everything he could to force their hand this year. Nick Gordon has sort of emerged as a potential multi-position infielder. They've got other guys kind of hanging around that fit that mold. So Jose Miranda, like, you know, I think he probably finds an everyday spot if he rakes, but he might not have the longest run at an audition if he struggles initially. And then Miguel Vargas with the Dodgers, you know, he's had a monster statistical year. He's at double A right now, but the Dodgers, they're always just bursting at the seams with options in the infield and guys that can play multiple positions, guys that can play a little bit outfield as well. And, you know, I think Vargas eventually gets a shot, but the Dodgers and the Rays, those aren't the orgs you want to come up in if you're an infield prospect right now. Like there aren't a ton of openings. And I just think those are four guys where I'm not dinging them a ton, you know, very minimally, really, just based on that aspect of things. But I thought it was just worth pointing out that, you know, if Vidal Brujan was on the Tigers, or I mean, really, it's not even just like a Tigers or Royals type of thing with Brujan. It's like really 20 other teams. Like he would be well positioned to play every day at some point next year. But it's just not the case with Tampa Bay.
Well, I'll say this. If Tampa Bay still has interest in a certain TJ Antone, maybe we can make a swap. I mean, I wouldn't do it earlier this year for Willie Adames.
Oh, you're willing to part with Antone now, eh?
Yeah, I mean, after a year recovery from TJ, they'll have a pretty good reliever on their hand. And we'll have Brujan. That'd be a pretty fair swap, I think. Again, I wouldn't do it earlier this year for Willie Adames, but now that he's out with Tommy John, I'll be willing to part with Tej. James, I think this is just a great time for baseball in general because of, well, assuming the CBA gets ironed out, just because there's so much talent in the game. And, I mean, it's just a boom period on the field, in my opinion, with the talent. And it sounds like, at least in the minors at the very top, the pool is as rich with high-end talent as maybe ever.
Yeah, I was really struck by that when I was working on this update. I mean, by the time you get to, like, you know, the 100th ranked prospect, it's kind of about normal. Like that's what you would kind of expect to see there any given year. But the caliber of guys, like the caliber of guys from like 25 to 50, from 50 to 75, just absolutely loaded with talent. And like, you know, I mean, I'm going to have four pitching prospects inside my top 50 on this update. And just the amount of really, really high-end hitters that I had to leave outside my top 30 or leave outside my top 40 or leave outside my top 50. It's just really, really crazy. Like Jonkenzie Noel with Cleveland, like I can't find a spot for him in the top 50. I mean, I think he obviously has a case, but I couldn't find a spot for him. Christian Hernandez with the Cubs, who, it's looking like at least the early returns, I should have had him number one ahead of Wilman Diaz for this past J2 class. Christian Hernandez is really impressed in the DSL, and he looks the part of a future top 10 prospect. I couldn't find a spot for him inside the top 50. And it's just, on down the line we go. Like the fact that a guy like Curtis Meade or Michael Bush is just barely inside the top 80. Like, those guys have had seasons that I think in past years, like, they would have been in the mix to be top 50 guys heading into the offseason, and they just aren't. So it's just really loaded right now. I hope everyone was able to cobble together a stacked farm system this year. There were just a ton of pop-up guys, a ton of breakouts. So hopefully your minor league systems are flush with talent right now. But it's going to be a lot of fun putting the finishing touches on this update. And like I said, it should be up sometime Friday.
It's a great time to be a fan of baseball. The product on the field is, I know there's a ton of strikeouts and it's kind of that three true outcome era, but I still love the game. And I really can't remember a time in my life where there was more talent, baseball talent in the majors and more on the way. I think the postseason is going to be great as well. Let's just hope Major League Baseball and the Players Association don't get in their own way this winter. James, thanks for all the insight this year. Thanks for putting up with me, man. By the way, before we get to our walk-up song, there's a little bit of hip-hop trivia that I just learned. I just wanted to run it by you. I figure you probably already know this, but did you know, James, that Jay-Z actually wrote both Dre and Snoop's verses in Still D.R.E.? It just kind of turned my whole world upside down.
I did not know that, actually.
Yeah, Jay-Z wrote both of those. So that whole, like, East Coast, West Coast thing was just a mirage, Behind the scenes, it was just, they're working together.
I thought Jay-Z didn't even write.
Well,
I thought he just kept it all up in his head.
That's the Lil Wayne approach, but apparently, apparently he keeps really tight-lipped about his ghostwriting, but apparently he just recently revealed that and talked about that, I think, on like LeBron's HBO show or something. But I couldn't believe that. I just thought that was amazing. Kind of really shook up my whole view of that song. Anything else prospect-related on your mind, James?
Nah, man.
We'll look forward to your off-season shows. I'll definitely be listening along. What you got for your final walk-up track of the year? By the way, I just got to say, it's dawning on me that I won't be able to give my review of the Many Saints of Newark on this show.
Oh, no.
Because,
maybe you'll have to.
I know everybody's bummed about that.
Maybe you can do it in like a big Twitter thread or something.
I know everybody's just clamoring for my two cents on that, but I cut you off. I'm sorry. What's your final walk-up track?
Arguably the best hip hop song of all time, Halftime by Nas.
Ooh, that's a good one. All right. Well, that's a good way to put your bow on the playlist. I've been listening to a lot of the playlists, and what dawned on me was that the one thing that was missing, in my opinion, was a little something for the ladies, James, or at least a female presence. I know you had, a Janet Jackson song, but I hadn't shown enough love to the ladies. So I'm actually going to pick a Missy Elliott song. It might be a shocker to those who know me. I was never the biggest Missy guy, but I've been coming around. The song I'm going to choose is You Can't Resist, featuring Juvenile and BG. Of course, had to get a little Hot Boys on this track. But this is an underrated song. Great Timbaland beat. I was never all about Timbaland, but this is a great one. And the way BG comes onto this song is just an all-timer. I mean, BG's entrance into this song is just Hall of Fame stuff. And yeah, free BG. He's been locked up long enough on that weapons charge, in my opinion. So how about we pardon him, Joe Biden, if you're listening?
Well, James, I'm glad you put Missy on there. I think I got her in the hip hop draft we did, but
yeah, that was a good pick. A sneaky one. I just kind of like E40. I just didn't appreciate Missy back in the day. Not bad.
Nice.
I know you still have not come around to 40, but yeah, You Can't Resist by Missy Elliott featuring Juvenile and BG will be my final track. Look forward again to listening to your postseason show, James. Anything else you want to mention?
Nope. This was a lot of fun, man.
Congrats on a great season.
Yeah, we'll be doing some stuff. I don't know if we'll do any pods during the off season, but maybe we will. And excited to have dinner with you in a week or so. And
yeah, going to a fine Italian establishment. Maybe I'll give you my review of Many Saints of Newark there.
Okay,
you'll be on pins and needles. And yeah, let you know.
My wife and I will just sit there while you give us a half hour long review of the movie
as I eat like spaghetti and tell you all about it. Well, that'll be great. Thanks again for all the insight, James. And we'll look forward to your top 400 update on Friday. And we'll hope you'll join us in the off season and next year on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, the Prospect Podcast, sponsored by WinBet.